TNF soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, I'm Amanda, reading this article written by Lindsay, and it is called Talking Sense About Garden Design. Most people will have heard of the world-famous Chelsea Flower Show, held annually in London. While you might think the gardens there are beyond your abilities, some of the modern concepts of sensory garden design embodied at Chelsea have been creeping into everyday gardens, a bit like a rampant yet fragrantly sweet honeysuckle. This is particularly true of the sensory garden ideals of layouts that mix open and enclosed cosy spaces with different cognitive purposes. For example, textured structures like wooden benches or stone walls to ground the sitter, and gentle flowing water features or invigorating fountains to give the impression of countryside or urban areas. Planting contrasting flower colour choices together helps create a visual statement piece, and of course, heavily scented plants to evoke pleasant memories, along with perhaps very tactile leaves reaching out for hands-on therapeutic comfort to all. Certain trees and bushes, like bamboo, can also shield gardens from distracting and unwanted urban noises, bringing a sense of peace to that pocket of nature. Every bit of nature has a purpose, none so obvious as plants either attracting pollinators or people, and bringing proven health and well-being benefits through the senses to put the mind in neutral. This is especially useful if living with challenges such as disability, mental stress, visual impairment, or total sight loss. Fortunately, in the UK there are several public gardens that offer sensory experiences for those who do not have their own garden or simply wish to expand their botanical knowledge. Most follow a conventional format of guided tours, allowing visitors to smell the scent of various plants and enable touching of safe plants with either furry, fluffy, or even sticky surfaces. However, there are a few which are going that extra mile and trying to engage the visitor's senses in a different and somewhat original way. Kew Royal Botanic Gardens, London, are not only smelling the roses, they are probably eating them as well. They boast seasonal food, which has been foraged directly from their gardens, and transform the produce into seasonal dishes for their restaurant and cafes on site, hoping to delight the visitors' taste buds. Literally sticking with the more adventurous themes, Trentham Gardens, Staffordshire, offers a unique barefoot walk to feel the sensations on the feet while walking over different surfaces, such as mud, pebbles, grass, and textured bark. There is the bonus sensation of rinsing your feet off in the nearby babbling brook afterwards. And for those who prefer quieter strolls, there is the Royal Botanic Garden, Edinburgh. In their affiliated site at Doic Botanic Garden near Peebles, they utilise a garden guide who is visually impaired aware to lead sensory treat weekends. The tour manages to combine learning about garden history, plant collections, and modern paintings, all whilst visitors walk and get hands-on with various selected plants. In fact, enhancing and navigating different and unfamiliar environments is where location audio description can help. Vocal Eyes Charity created an audio-described tour of Chelsea Physic Garden in London, as part of their ongoing mission to provide visitors the best opportunities to enjoy public spaces such as art venues and heritage sites through adding audio description for those with sight loss. You can find out more about Vocal Eyes and hear more of their audio descriptions on their website, vocaleyes.co.uk. And to spell that out for you, that's VOCALEYES.co.uk. co.uk. And here, demonstrating the benefits of location audio commentary with kind permission from Vocal Eyes, is their walkthrough tour of Chelsea Physic Garden.
As you make your way down the path, there is a wonderful plant that I want to just give you an idea of what's in front of you. It's twice as tall as I am. I'm 5 foot four, and it's twice as tall as I am. It's called an echium, and it has slender, pendulous green leaves. They have points at the tip, and they're covered in tiny little hairs, and there is an enormous spike, almost like a spire of a cathedral, of pale blue flowers, little clusters of pale blue flowers, and the bees are loving it. So at the bottom you've got the stem. I don't know if, Tony, if you'd like to touch the stem. It does have hairs on it.
Okay.
So don't be surprised if you find hairs.
Are there bees in there as well?
There are no bees at the bottom.
Right, okay.
But I will let you know if there's bees in the top.
Oh.
I did warn you, there are hairs on it.
Yeah, well, actually, it's sort of, to the touch, it's quite prickly, but the prickles are very close together, and it's actually kind of furry, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. It's almost like a fur coat, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't want a fur coat like that.
Oh! I rubbed it up the wrong way.
This section was just opened 1 week ago. These have got various different themes. The main one with this lot are either edible or, with one of the beds, which is our brewing bed or our booze bed or our distillation bed, are drinkable plants.
Can I volunteer to try out the booze bed?
Yes, you can be the first to try. On the booze bed, we have winter wheat, which some vodkas are made out of. This is the winter wheat. And then we've got apples for cider. We've got maize because it's distilled. We've got potatoes for vodka. We've got a juniper tree, which is for gin.
The leaves are long and spiky. And then you've got these bright green fronds that are up from the ears of the wheat. You can feel the ears in between.
It just amazes me how that turns into vodka.
We're heading across now to the rock garden and a statue of Sir Hans Sloane, who is a very important character in the garden. I'll just give you an idea of what he's like. He's life-size. He's dressed in the robes of an 18th century gentleman, so he's got a long curled wig. He's wearing a long robe, and underneath that, he's got a short knee-length frock coat, and he's wearing knee breeches and stockings.
And Hans Sloane, is he anything to do with Sloane Square?
He is indeed, yeah. There are various places around this area named after him. He basically, at one point in his life, owned Chelsea, so he was our landlord. He studied here and he loved the garden. He would have studied medicine here. And when he became landlord of the garden and owned Chelsea, which is a good job if you can get it, he made sure that as long as we teach about useful plants, then our ground rent on this 3.5, 4 acres, 1.5 hectares of land will only be £5 per year forever. And some of the houses that you would have passed on your way into the garden, 7-bedroom houses with 3 reception rooms, swimming pool on the 5th floor, roof terraces and large gardens, some of the rent they're looking for one of these is £24,000 per week. So £5 a year is an absolute bargain. So we're thankful to him, hence the statue.
We're just by the cork tree, which has a very thick, wrinkled, greyish-brown bark. It's about 30 foot tall, and the leaves are actually quite small. Small, oval leaves with slight point to them hanging above us. Michael?
Yeah, so this cork tree is a type of oak. It's a Portuguese oak. It's an evergreen. And the cork itself, which is a very useful insulating material, is on the tree to protect it from forest fires.
How does this grow in this climate?
Because we have these quite tall buildings on 3 sides of the garden, they radiate heat back into the garden in the winter time. So it has its mini microclimate, which is maybe in the depths of winter a few degrees warmer than it would have been in a more exposed site. We have a couple of oddities. One of them is in the corner that most people don't get to see, is a grapefruit tree that's just in the corner, which always has fruit on it.
Is that very unusual to have a grapefruit tree?
I think it's the most northerly growing grapefruit tree outdoors with fruit on in the world, yeah.
Wow.
It's just because it's in a nice protected, sheltered spot. Occasionally in the wintertime, from about November through to about April, the gardeners do have to wrap up some of the plants. And one of the ones just behind Roz to the to the right of some of you, there's one that's just got a few leaves back on it. It's looking quite twiggy. That has a little mini greenhouse built around it, made out of bubble wrap every winter. And that's from some parts of Asia, which probably doesn't really like our winters at all, especially this last winter.
Right.
There are needles all around, yeah. So do be careful. And it's got little buds at the top, which again, they've got a spike. I just got a spike in my finger.
Oh dear.
So let's,
sorry,
let's
my
be
fault.
Careful. Let's be careful.
Michael, what's this we've got here?
The cucumber family gives us lots of things like melons and pumpkins, but it also gives us gourds. And in many parts of the world, gourds are hollowed out and they're used for carrying water and for the kind of the resonant bowls for different musical instruments. And this is one, I don't even know the name of this instrument, but it's like a thumb harp. And it's got metal bits that can be plucked.
Oh, wow. Any requests?
Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner.
Yeah. Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner. No, I can't quite get the notes.
It's more like...
That's it. I thought you was away there, Michael.
DNF Soundings.